Good evening. Thanks for taking time to attend this session. First of all, I want to thank all of you for being really avid users of Visual Studio over the past how many of years you've been working. It's your feedback that really helps us evolve our product further. I'm Harikrishna Menon. I'm a program manager in the XAML experience team in Visual Studio. I work on things like the XAML editor, IntelliSense, the new behaviors SDK, and diagnostic experiences for XAML. For this session, what I'm trying to focus on is the whole concept of universal apps in Visual Studio. I'm not going to go into too much detail about what convergence means into the platform, but we'll go to detail how you can use Visual Studio and blend tooling to easily share code and build on top of the universal project template experience. So agenda, first we'll take a brief look at what convergence is. Then we'll figure out what universal apps are. We'll go to a whole bunch of demos, and if you have time, I'll do a quick recap of all the new features we have built in Visual Studio 2013 and an update too for phone applications. And finally, we can have some time aside for Q&A. So, convergence. You have heard, there's been multiple talks today, I believe, especially Mike Talty's talk. We're pretty awesome for you to attend. If you have not caught it, please watch it on Channel 9. You'll see a whole number of numbers being bandied about 90%, 80%, 75%. This is something, if you basically take two WinMDs, one WinMD from the phone SDK and one Windows WinMD from the store SDK, and you diff them, this is what the result you'll get. As you can see, the difference between phone and Windows SDK is around 58 types, 12 structures, and it has like two less interfaces. We can easily explain this away, right? Phone has a lot of concepts like tasks. It does not really apply on store. Store has concepts like settings pane, shared contract, which does not apply on phone. So a lot of these types, those are the differences. Fundamentally, most of the XAML UI is shared. Most of the fundamental primitives are shared. So it's very easy for you to build applications on top of that. If you really want to get an in-depth look at convergence, please watch Tim Heuer's talk called Common XAML UI Platform. It's available on Channel 9. He gave the talk during build. It's pretty awesome. So I want to, the convergence has three, what I think about convergence, I see three different things. First, same API. This is purely in the context of XAML. For a stack panel, grid button, same API across both phone and Windows Store works exactly the same way, no difference. But you have controls which have the same API but are tailored to the device. For example, let's take the hub, right? Hub has this really nice parallax effect on phone. You can choose to have it. But on store, you don't really have that. App bar has primary commands, secondary commands. But on phone, you really don't have space for primary and secondary commands. So secondary commands become basically app bar menu items there. So it's the exact same API, but based on the device, Windows automatically adapts these controls to work really well on that device. Finally, you have device-specific APIs. Search box is a standard example that's only available on Windows Store apps. Then you have the pivot control, which is only available on Windows Phone. So I hope that gives you a brief understanding of what convergence is, how it differs between phone and store applications. So now to universal apps. Universal apps is the official term that we use for project templates in Visual Studio that allow you to share code between Windows Phone and Windows Store applications. And hopefully in the future, like you saw in the build demos, more platforms like Xbox One might even get added to it. Currently, the templates are available for C#, C++, and JavaScript. We understand there are two sets of users. You might already have a store application that you want to port to phone. So we enable that scenario for you. You might be thinking about building a completely new app for a client or for your own on your own time, and we provide that help for you in that scenario as well. So I think I mentioned, if you want to understand more about convergence, please check out this talk. So let's get into a quick demo. So standard Visual Studio, it's slightly probably newer than what you guys have. This is the RTM version of Update 2. I think you have the RC versions right now. You won't see many difference other than probably a couple of more bug fixes. So when I do, when I open new project, you know, I've selected Visual C Sharp, you can see the store apps node. This was not there before. Inside store apps, you'll see three distinct categories. First is Windows Phone apps. This contains templates for the SL8.1 phone projects. It also contains templates that purely target phone on based on the common XAML/UI framework that was announced in build. So you have Blank, you have Hub, you have Pivot, etc. In Windows apps, you have templates that purely target the Windows Store platform. The classic ones that you have seen before, like Blank, Hub, Split, you know, class library, Winati component. And finally, you have a new node, which is the Universal Apps. You have a Blank template. You know, a lot of people prefer to start with Blank template. Some people only use the Hub template as a means of understanding what's the best practices or how to use inbuilt classes or things like Navigation Helper or Suspension Manager. So basically have a Blank app template and a Hub app template. So I'm going to go ahead and create a new Hub project. Just going to call it Demo Hub. I'm going to hit OK. So right at the bat, you can notice there is this new root solution folder. It is not super necessary. If you want to, you can just delete it off after moving the, you know, the other project items above it. It's just to, we had the scenario in mind, if, what if you had multiple applications in a single solution? So we just wanted a clean way of organizing. That's the only reason you have that root solution folder. Then you have a demohub.windows, a demohub.windows phone. Internally, we call them project heads. Head for us is basically targeting a particular platform. In this instance, this particular highlighted project targets the Windows Store. This targets Windows Phone. The reason why we need multiple head projects is, at least in this release, you still have to submit two different packages to the store. You can't just submit one package and wish that it actually works on Phone and Store. You have to physically submit two different packages, and that's why we have two output binaries at the end of the day, or two or more output binaries at the end of the day. Then finally, we have a demo hub.shared. It's got a fun little icon. This is what we call the shared assets project. This is where you will put all your code that you believe can be shared between both your phone and the store versions of your application. If I expand the demo hub, you know, the Windows thing, you'll see a reference to demo hub.shared is already added. But the reference icon is kind of different. This is not actually a project-to-project reference, but in a sense, it's a MS Build import. So what's happening is, during build, all we do is take all the items in the shared assets project, in the shared, you know, demo hub.shared, and add it to the head project, and then build it. That's all it happens under the cover. So that's why it's a MS Build import instead of a P2P reference. DemoHub.shared does not create a binary. There is no output there. The output will be in the project head that references that shared folder. And as you can see, when you create a Hub app, we already made some determinations, at least for the Hub template, of what can be shared. Things like assets. This assets is very specific. These are those gray, you know, black rectangles that you see in a Hub app. You have a common folder that has, you know, a whole bunch of classes that we ship and templates like Navigation Helper, Suspension Manager. The entire data model is shared. Even your RESX files are shared. Sorry, RESW files are shared. And finally, you can even share your app.xaml. So we place no restrictions on the kind of files that you can put in the shared project. You could put RESTWs, you could put images, you could put XML files, whatever. Again, best illustrated by, if I actually go add new item, you can see it's pretty open, right? You can add anything that you want. The best part about this being you know, a better version of what we call, you know, what you generally use is what linking, file linking, is that you can add conditional statements into your shared project. Let's say you have something platform-specific code in your shared project. You can add an if-def statement, and that solves the matter. You can't really add if-def statements in portable class libraries, right? So that is a quick overview of the Hub App template for universal projects. One thing I would like to add is, hope everybody knows what MRT is. MRT is Modern Resource Technology. It is a way that Windows determines what assets or what localization files to load based on the target device or the platform. We recommend, at least for images, to not put them inside the shared projects. It might seem counterintuitive, but the reason being, phone supports a lot more scale factors than Windows. And if you put everything in there, what's going to happen is you're just going to blot the size of your store package unnecessarily. So it might make sense to put certain MRT items in platform-specific heads itself. Now, let's switch to a live demo where I'm going to... So to just recap, shared projects allow sharing source between converged apps. It does not have a binary input, and it supports all item types. What I'm going to do now is... I have a Windows 8.1 app that I've already built. This is basically the Contoso cookbook application that was shipped as part of the code samples in 8.1. It's a beautiful app. It just basically shows a list of cuisines. You can select each cuisine and see its items. You can select an item, and you can see how to prepare that item. You have a couple of secondary app bar commands as well. Command bar commands as well. Let's see how to take this application and make it a Windows Phone app. So I'm going to stop debugging. I'm going to right-click on the project. And you can notice that there's a new command here called add Windows Phone 8.1. I'm going to select it. At this point, the dialog comes up saying, hey, if you actually go ahead with this, this is not going to be compatible with anything less than 2013. Makes sense, right? Shared assets project is a new concept, and it's not supported by earlier versions of Visual Studio. What happens is that we'll add a new head project for phone. We'll add a shared assets project as well when you do this action. And it's a one way. I'm going to hit OK. So, we name it really nice. You have console cookbook.windows phone. We add a shared project over here. Everything looks good. I can do a build to see, we haven't really gone ahead and made any changes to your code. Sorry, probably a small bug on my end. Just going to rebuild this again. So you can see, we didn't make any changes to existing code. We make no assumptions on what can be shared when you do this action, unless you're obviously if you're creating a Hub template, right? The next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to move a whole bunch of source and files that I believe is shareable to the shared assets project. And it starts with common. A lot of the code I have in common I believe is shareable, data model. Images, strings, then app.xaml, resources.xaml, and section user control. Once I select everything, I can basically drag. And during my drag operation, if I hit shift, it translates to a move. Then I can just drag it, drop it. At this point, all the files from Contoso Cookbook gets moved into the shared project. Please don't hang. Yeah, we had this issue in build, and when Kevin Gallo actually demoed it, we were all crossing our fingers. Please don't hang at that point. But it didn't. So as you can see, a lot of those files got moved to this project. The next step, what I'm going to do, I'm going to delete app.xaml and mainpage.xaml because, first of all, I have a shared app.xaml that I can use, right? I'm going to delete it. I have prepared... phone-specific constructs for different pages in the phone app. I'm going to go to add existing item. Sorry. and drag this over. And so basically the reason I have different implementations for hub, you know, section page and item page is that on a phone device, you really need to figure out how your existing store design might not really fit. So it kind of makes sense sometimes to have your view separate for phone and store. But as you can see here, I have abstracted away some of my selection user control out, and that can be shared between both phone and store. Now it looks like I've moved everything. I'm just going to go ahead and build. Right at the bat, I can see a couple of errors. I can see that, where's my error list? It says that the settings pane does not exist in the current context. And I can clearly see the error is coming from the phone project. Obviously, as we mentioned before, settings pane type or even anything to do with that is not available on the phone platform. So how do I fix this? I want to make sure this code only gets executed when compiled under the store context, right? So if I go to the store project, go to its properties, and go to build, you can see that we have a new conditional compilation symbol called Windows App. I'm going to copy that, switch back to this guy over here, select this function, control KS, which brings up my surround with snippet, select fdev, and you can see that I've basically added this conditional compilation to this particular piece of code. I'm going to go a bit up, and where I've registered for this, I'm going to do the same operation. As you can see, it's no longer highlighted. It's disabled, so it means it's not executing in the phone. But how do you understand this is executing in the phone context, right? If you look up, there's this new combo box there. This is what we call the context switcher. It has two values. It has n number of values based n number of heads that you have. You can see Windows Phone and the Windows Store here. When I select Windows Store, you can see that, hey, this statement is now getting compiled. It's no longer disabled. I can quickly switch back to Windows Phone, and you can see that, hey, this statement is now disabled. That means it's never going to get compiled. So you're safe. If I build, build's great. I'm going to now just F5 this particular project. I'm going to go to start a project, select Windows Phone, and I'm going to hit F5. So you might have noticed we have this new item in the debug target dropdown. We think it's the easier way for you to quickly select which device or which platform you want to F5 against. It's kind of painful to go to project and right-click and say set startup project. So, and this is available outside of Universal Apps as well. Whenever you have multiple application projects, this will be populated with all those application projects. So I've selected Windows Phone, and I'm going to hit F5. So, app now runs on phone. So I can move around. You can see the UI is slightly different to suit the phone design principles. I can go to different cuisines. I can select individual items. And I want to go back. I'm going to hit the back button. But that's wrong. And because I navigated multiple pages, I really need to make sure that when the user presses the hardware back button, I go back to the previous page and not back to the OS or the OS main page. This is because this, again, is a platform difference. Windows Store does not subscribe to a hardware button, but phone does. So we need to do something. In order to do that, I can switch back to the navigation helper, which basically manages my navigation. And you can see there is a page loaded event and a page unloaded event. What I need to do here is subscribe to the hardware button back pressed so that some code gets executed that enables me to save the navigation stack so I can keep going back instead of going back to the OS itself. So here, It's Windows. So you have back pressed. And this is a bit hand wavy, but you can see that I already have, you know, a function declared that handles hardware buttons back pressed. I'm just going to subscribe to that guy instead of creating a new function. Being a good dev, just going to copy that back into the page unloaded event. And unsubscribe from that event. So this enables now hardware buttons to be intercepted whenever you click hardware button intercepted and you to go back to the previous page instead of being killed off. But if I build this now, you're going to see the same kind of error you saw before, that hardware button is not supported on store. So we do the same operation by using ifdef. I'm just going to copy the Windows Phone compilation symbol. This is Windows Phone, a conditional compilation symbol that you should use. So that takes care of it for the unsubscribe. Oh, sorry. I am selecting the wrong guy. And if I switch back to Windows, we can see that all those things are no longer being computed, so that we're good. And everything builds perfectly. So that's how you would use conditional compilation in shared assets project to share as maximum as code as possible in an application. You don't have to move it to your head. That is the best part about having shared projects. One thing I want to add is that the context switcher is also supported in XAML app, in XAML, the designer or the editor as well. So I'm going to open the section user control. So it's the first time there's an opening, right? You can see that, hey, the user control opens up. When I switch the context between Windows Store and Windows Phone, the UI also changes to render the phone version of that user control based on whatever size things you have set on the device window. So this makes it easier for you to design your application without having to switch between different devices or different platforms all that often. When I switch the Windows Phone, you can see the device window has now changed to reflect phone, and you have phone versions of the scale factors and everything. And when I switch back to Windows Store, we can see the device window changes to support store resolutions and scale factors. So this is pretty awesome. In addition to supporting the context switcher in XAML, we added the new feature. Basically, we added support for navbars in XAML. So navbar in C# is basically a quick way for you to navigate between function definitions, right? In XAML, it's a quick way for you to navigate the parent tree of a particular element, the particular selected element. This allows me to quickly switch between elements in large nested trees. I don't have to use a document outline. I don't have to keep scrolling. I can quickly use the navbar to jump to the element of choice. And this is especially useful in large resource files when you have like hundreds of styles defined. It's really painful for you to find the style that you want to navigate to, right? You can quickly use this, select, and it'll scroll you to the right position. The right combo box shows you all the properties of the selected element. Again, super useful. If you're the kind of developer who has attributes on single lines, it might get really long. And if you want to quickly jump, you can use the combo box for that as well. So, so that's it. That's a quick demo of how to port your phone for your store applications to Windows Phone using the new common XAML UI framework and universal apps. To just recap, there are conditional compilation symbols that you can use that'll help you share source between project heads in the shared assets project. It's Windows Phone and Windows Phone app and Windows app for phone and store respectively. And you have the same versions for C++ as well, if you choose to write your application in C++. I think I skipped over this. So I'll just explain what these warning icons mean. So while you're in the C# editor, right, what if you're trying to subscribe to, let's say, the backpressed event, which does not exist on store? You want to know that, hey, you should probably think about using this API. So this warning icon exactly tells you that. It says that, hey, it is available on phone 8.1, but it's not available on Windows 8.1. That means you have to ifdef it in the shared project. So it's a pretty useful feature. And finally, we have a new project context switcher in the navbar. Also, we have an easy way to change your startup projects, and it's available for any solution, not just universal apps. Now on to class libraries. Class libraries are pretty interesting. What if I want to, let's say I'm building an app for a client, I'm building a game for somebody else, but I have this, in my company, I use this same logging library everywhere. It's not super nice for me to use shared projects at that point to link between different projects, which are not even the same versions, different applications. You can't really use shared projects there. There you would actually go for class libraries. And for C#, it is essentially portable class libraries. And we'll take a quick demo of how to use portable class libraries to share source between multiple applications. I'm going to open my demo folder. It is the exact same app, but it's refactored a bit differently. You can see that we have already moved a whole bunch of code into the class library. We're going to see how we can add a new application and help you share this code. The best part about PCL in this release is that it supports WinRT, which it didn't before, and it also supports XAML content. But unfortunately, a drawback from the previous thing that we saw, that is our shared assets project, is you can't use conditional compilation in PCLs, because PCL essentially is a single binary. The output is a binary that you can use on whatever platforms you have targeted. So it satisfies a different constraint. First, what I'm going to do, we're going to open the project properties, and you can see a new targeting subsection. Currently, you can see that the target is just Windows 8.1. I can choose to change it by selecting this and saying, hey, I'm going to target Windows Phone 8.1. Hit OK. At this point, this particular library changes to portable. You can see now on the side it says portable instead of store. Now, this particular library targets both Windows Phone 8.1 as well as Windows Store 8.1. I'm going to add a new Windows app. So I've added a new application that I'm going to ship, and I want to consume the contents of my helper library, right? I can go to its references, add reference, and you can see Cookbook Helper is already there because I've already targeted to phone and store. Instead of a store app, I can easily use a phone and it'll still show the reference. I'm going to hit OK, and at this point you can see that the reference has been added, and I can just go and party. Some differences that I'm going to show you while working on this concept is I have a cookbook helper, I have app and main page. I'm going to go ahead and delete these two components again. But when I add existing items, my own versions or that particular platform's versions, you'll see there's a slight difference. And the difference is that you can see app.xaml here. The reason I need to have an app.xaml for different heads is, remember the settings pane const problem, right? We solved it in shared projects simply using conditional compilation, But you can't do that in PCL. PCL, you can't have container compilation. So you have to have platform-specific app.xaml and app.xaml.cs now. So I'm just going to select this, add it to the demo app. So it got added. Another thing that we changed was also navigation helper. You know, we added the hardware button back press thingy. And again, this cannot, unfortunately, cannot be shared again. So you have to add that specific version to the project head. And if I build it, yeah, this is, I believe we have, this is, I think this should solve it, right? Sorry. Why is this? Sorry. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm really sorry. Yeah, this was a phone project. I accidentally created a store project. But you get the essence. You basically need to take your class library. You can retarget that to an phone 8.1 and then create a new application, reference it. The only thing that you have to keep in mind is that you can only share code that is completely compatible between multiple platforms. And the best part about using PCL, it's even compatible Xamarin projects, so you can use it on iOS and Android as well. So, a quick recap, the code reuse options that you have are shared projects. The asset shared is code, it's not a binary. We support C#, C++, and JavaScript. Platform supported are store and phone. Then you have the other way of sharing code, which is portable class libraries. The thing that is shared here is a binary, not necessarily the source. The supported are only .NET languages like C# and VB. But the best part is it supports desktop, store, phone, iOS, Android, whatever platform that PCL supports. And that's pretty cool. So you have to understand what your requirements are, and you have to accordingly use that particular technology. Now, so there's one more thing I'm going to touch on. What if you wanted to share code between multiple WinMDs? You're writing multiple WinRT components, and you want to share code. You could see that we don't have a shared assets project template. It's actually built in Universal, the Universal templates itself. You didn't see any shared project templates. Very soon, I believe it's already out, there is going to be a VS extension called Shared Reference Manager, which is going to add empty shared templates for you. You can use this anywhere you want. So you can create a dumb shared template and use that to import to multiple head projects. We'll see a quick demo of how to do that. I have already installed. I have already installed that extension. So if I create a Windows Runtime component, one. I'll create another Windows Runtime component. And what if I want to share class one between both, right? I can go to Solution, Add New Project, to go to C# Node, go all the way down, you'll see a shared project empty. You won't see this in your builds, you need to install that extension to get it. Click OK, and you can see it adds a shared assets project to your solution. So this enables you to share code between multiple WinMDs or multiple different libraries that you want to build for different applications. And the same things that I did before, basically select, drag, shift, and drop. You know, it goes to class one. I can delete class one off, and it was already shared. But you know, we don't automatically add a reference because we don't know which ones to add a reference. You can basically right-click. There is a new command as well. You get a new command you'll get when you add the when you install the extension. It's called Add Shared Project Reference. When you select it, you'll see the shared asset project. Hit OK, and you add a reference. And it's that simple. So hopefully in the next couple of days, already just search for shared reference manager, and you should be able to find it. So that completes our this part of the demo. Before I switch over to the new authoring features that we developed for phone applications. I'm going to quickly show you that whatever we did here is compatible with Blend as well. Blend supports opening and working with universal projects. I can just basically right-click on this particular guy over here, say open in Blend. If I go to the project pane, you can see, hey, we support the same hierarchical project structure that you had with universal projects in Blend as well. The only slight difference in experience here is, I need to show device. We don't have the concept of nav bars in the editor in Blend. So we have put the context switcher in the device pane. So you can see when I go to projects and I select my section user control, I come back to device, I can see a context switcher here. I can switch between Windows Phone. And Windows Store context using the switcher. It's just that it's not in the editor. Everything else remains the same. So that's why the same amount of support that you have at Blend for developing, you know, stored applications, or WPF applications, available for you know, universal projects as well. There is no degradation in experience. I'm going to show you a quick demo, final demo on universal projects. I'm going to quickly show C++. C++ has a universal, has a universal class library template, so that's pretty cool. If you go to store apps, you go to universal, you can see a DLL universal apps. Unfortunately, this template is not available for managed applications, managed languages, but you can see you can create a shared class library or a library or DLL for C++ using the universal project templates. So that's a major difference between C++ and C# for this release. Okay, how many of you have used Visual Studio 2013? Pretty much everybody, right? I'm going to go on a whirlwind tour of all the new features that we have done for Update 2 and Visual Studio, and sorry, and Visual Studio 2013 in this release around XAML tooling. And I'm going to do that in the context of phone, so you know that we have the same support for phone. Double checking on the right, it's left. Perfect. So this is a completed version of the Context Server Cookbook app. As you can see, when I select different hub sections, I actually can the designer changes to highlight that particular hub section. So one thing you can notice that, hey, nothing's showing up here, and I need to figure out why. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to go edit, additional templates, edit current template, and you can see I have not defined an item template here. That's bad. So I'm going to define item template, right? Not define, I'm going to reference item template that I already have. So I'm going to start typing item template, and I'm going to complete with the static resource. You can see the moment I complete, now we have IntelliSense for resources. We show all the local and system resources for that particular property, and we filter that so you can select the right one that you want. So in this instance, I have to select group items template. And you can see the UI becomes a bit better. Instantly, the designer reflects that, updates the UI, looks great. But it doesn't really look right from what we have seen before. I want to fix that. So I'm going to go hit F12 on the data template. That is GoToDefinition. So we support GoToDefinition for pretty much everything. If I want to go to definition on data template, I can do that as well. It basically opens object browser and selects a data template type for you. You can even do it on, unfortunately, Xcolon is not supported, I forgot. But if I do it even on a property, it'll select image and it'll show you the properties for the image. So basically, I need to bind my image source to something. So I'm going to basically start typing a binding expression. And you can see all the properties of the data context available in the data template. So when you do an F12, we automatically flow the correct data context over, so you don't have to worry about decolon data context or anything. And you can instantly select, you know, the group header image path. And we can see that it reflects in the design surface as soon as you set the value. So that's pretty cool. So this is basically, we support IntelliSense for resources, IntelliSense for data binding. What if I want to change this property or see where this property is coming from? I can easily select that property, hit F12 again, and you can see that we even take you to the line of code that is referenced by that property. Finally, I'm going to look at a couple of more examples of GoTo definition that we support. You can see style equal to body text block style, right? In Windows 8.0, you had a whole bunch of styles that we put in the template called styles.xaml. All those styles have been moved to the platform and the platform generic.xaml. So body text block style is one of them. If I F12 there, we actually open the platform generic.xaml and you can inspect your style. This makes it easier for you to copy it down or change some stuff on your local version, obviously not on the platform SDK version. But it even allows you to navigate the system resources. By the way, whatever I'm showing right now is supported across all platforms, be it WPF, Silverlight, Silverlight for phone, doesn't matter. It's supported on all platforms, all these features. The only thing I want to call out that is not supported is like some, I wouldn't say obscure, but things like find ancestor, relative, that kind of bindings are not supported. Priority and multi bindings are also not supported on WPF. Basically, all the common subset of binding expressions across all platforms are supported. I'm going to go back to hub page. One more thing we can see is that if I complete static resource, we even show you all the system resources as well. So here I can just select body text block style and complete that. You know, whenever I type, I constantly make this mistake. If I type a button, I complete it like this. And I necessarily don't want the end tag if I don't have any content inside. So if you actually do this now, we automatically remove the end tag for you. What if I want to change the stack panel to a grid for some reason, right? I can basically hit grid, and it automatically changes the end tag for me as well. So we've added these nifty type assistance features to make it easier for you to refactor your XAML without having to go up and down and find stuff. Another one is that you have a comment here. Unfortunately, XML does not support nested comments. So before, if I tried commenting this block, it would completely break my XML. But now, if you select this piece of code that already has a nested comment and hit Control-KC, we basically intelligently break apart the comments in such a way that, you know, it's no longer nested and, you know, it will compile without any problem. Finally, I want to show some improvements that we did to IntelliSense completion. For some reason, I want to add an app bar here, and I'm just going to add an app bar. Sorry, I can't add an app bar here. I want to add a variable size wrap grid. I know it's not possible outside items panel, just bear with me. If I do VSW, it basically, you know, does a camel case search and it highlights everything, the first one that actually has those caps. So I can select variable size wrap grid. Let's say I make a small spelling mistake. I type border instead of border. It still selects border. We do a basic fuzzy matching for you. I can select bar and it even does substring searches. So we added some improvements to the way IntelliSense matching happens, so you don't have to like worry about small spelling mistakes and things like that. A couple of phone-specific improvements that we have done to the device panel is we have supported high contrast. so you can switch on high contrast. Unfortunately, this application is not a great example of supporting high contrast, but when you select high contrast, it applies the high contrast settings, and you can view your application with that setting on. You can choose to show the status bar or not. I'm not sure, layout bounds. There's this whole concept of layout bounds that Windows intelligently would resize to your content based on the system things like the app bar and the status bar. So having this option allows you to toggle it on and off and preview your design surface accordingly. Finally, hope you've all heard, we have a new Behaviors SDK, which is a completely new API, pretty different from the WPF Silverlight versions for Windows Store. I'm happy to announce that the same API set, zero change, works for phone. Unfortunately, due to certain requirements from our end for building for different target platforms, they are physically two different SDKs, but the API surface is exactly the same. The only difference is what we target while building. So I'm going to go show a quick example of the Behaviors SDK for phone apps. I'm going to go to a new project. Create a blank app for phone. Add a button. You can see there's this new behaviors category for our phone as well. A whole bunch of behaviors and actions that you are familiar with. A quick recap of the new behaviors API. There is no longer a gazillion base class interfaces for you to figure out, like event trigger base, nothing like that. You just have one interface called iBehavior and another interface called iAction. If you implement iBehavior, you get a behavior. If you implement iAction, you get an action. There is no concepts of triggers anymore. We have basically combined the concept of behavior and trigger into a single concept called behavior, and that you can create by just implementing iBehavior after referencing SDK, and you can build your own behavior that way. The same thing applies to iActions by implementing iAction. So you have a button over here. I'm going to drag, let's say, a change property action to the button. At this point, in Blend, a couple of things happen. Blend knows which SDK this guy is coming from, so it automatically adds a reference for you. So if you go to reference, you can see a reference to the behaviors SDK. The current behaviors SDK is already added. You can see the event trigger behavior targets the click event, which is the default event for button. And the change property action, you can select what to change. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to select this target object. I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to change the grid background to red. I'm going to hit F5. And if I click, you can see the background changes red. So it's a very easy way for you to add interactivity to your applications without having to write code. And I'm going to write on stage I'm going to write a quick action on stage to show you how easy it is to write new action using this model. My action is going to be very dumb. All it's going to do is basically change the background of the control that you have clicked on or something. So there's an IAct class, so I'm just going to say my action. I'm going to get this to derive from dependency object. Yeah, that funny light bulb is because I had the Roslyn preview installed. You can install it as well. I'm excited about Roslyn, so I have already installed it. I'm going to reference iAction. And I'm going to implement the interface. So as you can see, iAction is a very simple interface. All it needs is an execute method. So in the new world, actions are fire and forget. You don't hold state. We don't expect actions to hold state. We expect actions to get some data from the triggered behavior and just execute and forget everything about the application after that point. Just going to make this public. If you're going to say more control equal to sender as control. Control not equal to null. I'm just going to set control.background set it to red. It's that easy. All I've done is basically take the, whatever the sender, the control was, and if it's a control, I'm just going to set its background to red. I'm just going to return null. So that's another change that we have done to actions. Because a behavior can have n number of actions, each action can now return a result. So you can do conditional behaviors, right? I can execute 5 actions, look at the results, and then figure out what to do next. So we allow that kind of chaining and conditional using this concept. So all actions can now return results, which was not possible. It was just not possible in the previous version of the SDK or the WPF and Silverlight versions of the SDK. I'm going to switch back to Blend. This is funny. Why is Blend not picking up the? Okay. It now figured out that there's a new type. So you have the button. You can see behaviors has now 11 types. Before there was 10. And you can see my action showing up here. All I'm going to do is add this action over to my event trigger behavior. It just added. It has no properties or anything defined because it's pretty cheap version. You can see the background of the button already changed as well. So it's very easy to write new actions and behaviors using the new model for store and phone applications. Finally, I'm going to show a couple of designer-centric features before we call it quits. Guides. So did you guys have a chance to see guides in action? So like Adobe, Illustrator or Photoshop, we have introduced a concept like guides into the Blend design surface. And it's also available for phone applications. Guides are pretty awesome because ours are dynamic guides. That means once you place a guide in a particular location, even if you change the device scale or resolution, related to device scale resolution, the position of the guides won't change. So you can make sure that things that snap to the guides, if you want to place a particular button in an exact location, it is going to be there. If you go to View, Manage Guides, and Load Guides, you'll see a whole bunch of guides that we have shipped in Blend for Windows Store. Unfortunately, we haven't done it yet for phone. We'll get around to it. But this is not going to work because I'm adding it for a store project. But you can see we automatically add guides for, like, let's say, the items page for you. So that's pretty awesome. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to add a button. And I really want this button to get pushed in right next to the guide, right? So if I actually drag to the guide, you can see that it's snapping to that guide. So I can correctly place my button with respect to what my designer comps has given me. If I have another checkbox, now I can even align the text inside a checkbox and a button. It's not just aligned to the control, but even the text content we can align. This is super useful to stick things together. A big problem on Jupyter, the Common XAML UI framework, is that it has these focus visual rectangles around, which is not really used for touch, right? It's only for keyboard that you really need it. And that gets in the way of trying to align things. So we've intelligently figured out what is the first visual that the user really cares about. And then you can actually snap content that way. You can place things next to each other, even beyond the visual routes. You can even align text together. So we have done some improvements in the snapping as well as the guides department. If you can see, the guides is placed like this. If I go to device panel and I change, let's say, 1080p, you can see even in that resolution, the position of the buttons and the checkbox have not changed, not of the guides. It is dynamic in nature. The final thing I want to show you is what we call IPCDE, in-place editing. Let's say you have a button control, you do an edit copy, and I want to put this in application, right? Before, what used to happen, you used to be taken to what we call an out-of-place mode. You wouldn't really, you would see an app.xaml opening up and just the button. You can't edit in the context of the page you're designing. But in the new world, for phone and store, you can see that this purple border, that means you are in IPCDE. Even though you look like you're in mainpage.xaml, you're actually editing app.xaml. This template is coming from app.xaml, and whatever changes that you make here will get persisted back to app.xaml without you having to do anything about it. So this is pretty great. You no longer have out-of-place editing problems in Blend. If you really want to do out-of-place editing, you can always choose to go to the resource panel and click this guy over here, and this is out-of-place editing. This was a default experience if you tried to edit a template in the previous versions of Blend, if it was not in the same document. In the new version of Blend, an update in 2013, we support in-place editing for these controls. So that's it from my end. This is pretty much a whirlwind tool of what universal projects are, what convergence is, a quick overview of convergence, and finally, what the new features of XAML authoring in Blend and Visual Studio we have built for 2013 and update to. So, questions? So, just a recap. I'm not going to talk to this slide. Yeah, you have some great... I think both talks for today at least are done. There is another one for building store apps in Windows Phone 8 by Andy tomorrow. You should probably attend it. It is a related session. And feel free to contact me at my email address. I'm pretty prompt in my replies. I'll definitely make sure I get back to you as soon as possible. You can also contact me on Twitter. Not that active on Twitter, but if you send me a message, I'll definitely reply. So if you have any feedback, if you see any perf issues in Designer, you see you want new features, just let me know. And I'll definitely make sure that gets added to our backlog, or in some ways, your input gets fed into our planning process for the next release. If you have no questions, we can call it quits. Thanks, Zen.